Yesterday, 24 Greek Ordinary Time 1. The first reading from the first letter to Timothy, chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing the instruction to you so that, if I am delayed, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and bulwark of the truth. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of our religion. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, great among the nations, believed on in the world, taking up in glory. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 7, verses 31 to 35. To what then shall I compare the men of this generation, and what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, we piped to you, and you did not dance, we wailed, and you did not weep. For John the Baptist had come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say he had a demon. The Son of Man had come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, that wisdom is justified by all her children. Sharing of the reading. First, the theme. People must view the truth to examine them, not view them to examine the truth. Some people think that they are the center of the universe, which all the things must orient to. Therefore, they view their thinking and standards to examine God and others. The result is they do not have peace. Because they can never attain what they want. To have peace, they need to learn the truth, then using the truth to examine them. And especially, they must live according to the truth. Living according to the truth shall liberate people from all falsities and help them to maintain their desired result. Today's readings remind people that they must live and act according to the truth, not view themselves to examine the truth. In the first reading, St. Paul advised Timothy, his disciple, that he must live according to Christ and the church's teaching. In the Gospel, Jesus rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees because they viewed themselves as the standards to criticize and to force others to follow them. When John Baptist came without normal eating and drinking, they labeled him he had a demon. But when Jesus came with normal eating and drinking, they called him, "Behold, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." Second analysis. A first reading. We must center our life on Christ. Third point. Living according to the church's teaching. Paul advised Timothy, "I am writing thee instructions to you so that, if I am delayed, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and bulwark of the truth." Paul often viewed the image of God's temple, and the faithful are different parts of this temple. See 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, chapter 6, verse 19, chapter 8, verse 10, chapter 9, verse 13, second letter to Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21, second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. In today's passage, Paul gives four images to advise the faithful that they must know how to properly act in the temple. First image, God's house. It's where all the faithful are living together, uniting and loving because all have the same home owner, who is God. Second, God's living community, ecclesia. The church is the community of those who want to respond to God's invitation to bring the gospel which contains the truth to all people of the world. Third, the pillar of truth, stylos. The pillar is the column that supports the temple. The pillar of truth is the essential that supports all the church activity. And last, the bulwark of truth, eudaioma. A firm house must be built on a firm foundation. Saint Paul called the foundation of God's temple is the apostle and the prophets, which Christ is the cornerstone. See Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. In today's passage, the foundation of the temple is the truth. In other words, Paul wanted to advise the faithful must build their life on the foundation and pillars of truth, love all people, and contribute their effort in preaching of the gospel. Second point, Christ must be the center. Saint Paul ascertained, "Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of our religion. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory." Paul identified the truth and the mystery of the church with Christ in a human body. Through this mystery, he brings salvation for people. Third, right is vindicated in the spirit. St. Paul declared, no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. See 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. The faithful are purified, sanctified, and justified by Christ and the Holy Spirit power. See Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. This concept is clearly expressed in the fourth gospel. But when the Counselor comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness to me. See John chapter 15, verse 26. Second, Christ is contemplated by the angels. The angels are the spiritual beings, so they know for sure God's plan of salvation achieved through Christ. In John 9 Gospel, Jesus promised to Nathanael that he shall see God's angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. See John chapter 1, verse 51. And lastly, Christ is preached to all nations, believed by the world, and taken up in glory. St. Paul had lots of experience in preaching the gospel and helping many people of different nations to know and to believe in Christ. Second, the gospel. Jesus rebuked the scribe and the Pharisees' habit of criticism. Third point. They behave like children. One of children's character is that they live according to their passion. When they want to eat, they eat. When they want to play, they play. They do not analyze to see if their desire is reasonable or not until their parents prohibit them and teach them to live according to a schedule. If they are not disciplined by their parents, they shall continue with those habits even when they become adults. Jesus likened scribes and Pharisees as the children because they refused to live according to God's way, but stubbornly in their way. They are like children who sit in the marketplace and call to one another, we played the flute for you, but you did not dance. We sang a dirge, but you did not weep. Second point, they view themselves as the standard to judge others. Since the scribes and the Pharisees viewed themselves as the standard to criticize others, they were not satisfied with anyone who lived a different way with them. Jesus saw their selfishness for his disciples by a more concrete example. First, they displeased with John the Baptist. They criticized John the Baptist as possessed by a demon because he did not eat food or drink wine like them. Why many people came to listen to him and to be baptized by him. Second, they also displeased with Jesus. When Jesus came, he also eating and drinking, and they said, "Look, he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." If one questioned them, "Then how can one be perfect?" They might not know how, but always want to look for a reason to criticize others because they do not want to follow anyone. Jesus gave his disciples a key to choose the perfect way, that wisdom is justified by all her children. The result shall show right away. God's plan does not depend on them, because there are still people who live according to God's wisdom. There are still the people who heard John preaching. They forfeit their sinful way and return to God. The people shall be faithful witnesses for God's wisdom and plan. The scribes and the Pharisees can cause obstacles, but are not able to destroy God's wisdom. Application in life. We should learn the truth from God and view it as the standard to examine our conscience, not to view our thinking to criticize the truth. To learn the truth, we must study God and write teaching in the scripture, not rely on the wisdom of our human flesh. Amen.